Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Yeah, everyone all set? Cocked, locked, here we go. Dial set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being with us today. Bert is with us in California. We're going to be talking about electricity for this hour. And I heard the previous hour with Gwyneth and Kathy. And Gwyneth mentioned that she took a personality test. And it came back that she was low on politeness. Gwyneth, you need to get your money back, because that is exactly wrong. You are extremely polite. And I just wanted to tell you that. And I talked with Bert just before the broadcast, and you had expressed interest in interviewing Bert about Nikola Tesla and the Philadelphia experiment. And I think that is it's something that we should do. I talked to Bert about it. He's up for it. And I did meet and talk personally for about a half an hour, Mrs. Finelli and I, with Al Bielek, who was there at the Philadelphia experiment. So back in 1943. So that would be a great broadcast. So I did want to tell you that. Bert is going to be continuing. Gwyneth, thank you so much for being with Kathy and taking the lead. Next time, Kathy can take the lead. And what, class, what you saw? What you saw was USA Prepares instructors rising to a higher level, where they actually ran the broadcast solo or in pairs. And I think that that is an experiment that I wanted to do. And the reason I wanted to do it, there are many reasons, but one is I wanted to make sure that there was durability here at USA Prepares. So if anything happens to any one of us, USA Prepares can continue, and you saw it. You saw it. Gwyneth, thank you so much for being with us.
That's quite all right. I'll go now.
Thank you for staying up late. Thank you for staying up late.
That's all right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's all right. I'll probably actually just go across to GCN and I'll listen to this on the live stream.
So, no, that sounds great.
I'm actually really interested to hear what Bert Petronas has to say today. Yeah.
Well, Bert Petronas is a very, 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 very dear friend, and he's brilliant. Thank you, Gwyneth, for being with us.
Okay. Well,
God bless. Okay. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Yeah. Hi, Vince. Hi, Gwyneth, if you're still there. Look forward to chatting with you live on the air this time next Friday.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So Vince, Bert, I think we got a letter from a listener, so I think we want to start off with that if we can. It might get a little technical, so I'll try and bring it down to Earth, but it had to do with RF interference from Bluetooth devices.
Okay. Why don't you read the email? Read the email. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah. Well, we went back and forth a couple of times, but I don't want to get overly technical. But basically, you had a caller. Can I mention his name? Is that okay? Or
absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Amit, and basically, he asked, "What is the interference from Bluetooth devices?" And remember, a lot of Bluetooth are earpieces, so we put them in your ear to listen. And I had mentioned on previous shows that I thought, in my opinion, Bluetooth is relatively safe because of the extremely low power levels involved, even when it is something like an ear pod. But Amit's question was really two parts. One was, you know, is the power level really safe? And the other was, what does the local oscillator radiation contribute? So, again, without getting too technical, almost all radio receivers, in order to demodulate, recover the signal in the receiver, and sometimes we also do the reverse image of the process in the transmitter. But in the receiver, we actually use a signal at the same frequency. It's an unmodulated pure carrier, which we call a local oscillator. This concept is used in almost every radio receiver since the invention of radio, including all the advanced digital radios where we convert down to digital as soon as possible, down to baseband where we process it as a digital signal. We actually create internally a local oscillator signal. So Mitch's question is that dangerous? And the answer is generally no, because if it's a good design, that signal is only used for internal circuitry, and it's not really part of anything that gets radiated, and it shouldn't leak out of the device. The concept is that if you mix the pure local oscillator signal with the signal you're demodulating, and you do it in a mixer in the proper manner, what comes out is actually the information. And that's kind of, you know, taking something that's very complex into one sentence. So, no, it shouldn't be dangerous. By the way, Vince, you know what the one radio that doesn't use a local oscillator is? The one type of radio receiver that is so simple and there is no local oscillator? You know what that radio receiver is?
Crystal radio?
You got it. That's it. Crystal radio, which is the most basic radio, is just a tuned circuit for the frequency you want to recover, a diode, which is just a rectifier, which basically recovers the AM modulation. So this really only works with AM modulation, like your broadcast band, and then a capacitor to just filter everything out. And that crystal radio with a big enough antenna can drive a headset. And that all that's really involved is four or five components, depending on how you count them. And so there's no local oscillator in that type of receiver. Unfortunately, a concept that simple can't really work in modern communications because that tuned circuit is just not narrow enough to pull the signals out. And then AM modulation is almost never used anymore. I mean, AM broadcast is probably one of the exceptions. Everything else is a more advanced type of modulation. So the crystal radio just really won't work for the vast majority of communications that we use nowadays. So I hope that answers Amit's question. And also as far as, you know, the general radiation, again, it's in the milliwatt range. We're talking, you know, 5 milliwatts or 1 milliwatt typically. So very, very low modulation because, remember, it's only trying to communicate to your phone or to your computer or from your keyboard of your computer to the computer that's down below. So it's only going, you know, a foot, couple of feet, that type of range. So very low power.
Did you ever make a crystal radio using a double-edge razor blade? I'm talking about in the 60s, 50s, and we had those double-edged razor blades, and you could literally put a little piece of wire against it and detect a signal, a strong signal from a, you know, powerful station, and hook up a set of headphones to it. Have you ever done that?
No, I never did that. You know what I used for diodes that takes you back to an era of the 60s and 70s is computers were going through mass evolution. I mean, computer technology was just moving at astonishing pace from, you know, the really we were going from second-generation transistor computers to, you know, first integrated circuit computers. And there would be all these surplus computer boards from IBM and Berry computers at the hobby shops. And these boards would be chock full of diodes and transistors and other devices. And for whatever reason, these circuits used a lot of diodes. So I pulled my diodes off of those surplus circuit boards that work fine for crystal radios.
Mm-hmm. And Class V, if you're wondering, are we making this up? You can just type in, go to a search engine, DuckDuckGo, Razor Blade Crystal Radio. Click on images and you'll see it. And it's for real. And it works. So, Bert, what else do you have in mind for today's broadcast?
Well, I thought we'd pick up where we were the last time I was interviewing you about construction of your home. In particular, you know, sort of what's in my wheelhouse and what I was intrigued by is the number of different cables that really we run through a modern house, you know, whether it be power, telco, security alarm, speaker, audio. Of course, now everyone has to have Ethernet. So we would pick up where we left off, and we actually used your construction of your home, and I think we were somewhere around pouring the concrete, and you didn't have a lot of concrete you were pouring, but is it dry by now? From where were we, 2 weeks ago? Should all be dry now, and we can carry on where we left off.
Sure, it's dry. Yeah, and in every room, you know, other than the bathrooms, including the kitchen, there are blue boxes, and these are those plastic boxes, and they have wires in them. There are two cable TV wires, RG59U. It's the old cable that was used for, you know, from the cable companies, and two Cat5Es for internet, Ethernet, networking, and one or two telephone wires. And so we've got landlines everywhere, and it's in a star configuration. Star means it starts at one point and radiates out. So it's not daisy chained. And many telephone systems, landlines, are daisy chained. So they go, you know, like to the kitchen, to the living room, to the bedroom, you know, in a series. If anything fails along the way, which happens, the downstream connections are broken. So we don't do that. What we do is we have everything running from one point. And if anything fails, like let's say the dining room connection fails, it just affects the dining room. The living room, just the living room. The bedroom, just the bedroom. The studio, just the studio, etc. The kitchen. And so we can easily trace where the problem is. But we've never had a problem because all of our wiring was very carefully done. So what I've talked to some instructors, and they have, over the years, a telephone guy would come in and wire the house, and or they would put another a phone in the bedroom, and they would just tag the wires on and go into the crawl space. And what would happen is those connections over time would degrade through the moisture and so forth. And so now where's the problem? You have to find it. Well, if you use a star configuration, rather than what's called a bus configuration. Bus is like a bus stop. And you go from one bus stop to the next bus stop to the next bus stop to the next bus stop. If you avoid that and you go with a star configuration, you've got greater reliability and greater repairability. So those are my thoughts on that. Any comments?
Yeah, let's pick up on where the stars, where you put that when we come back.
Okay, very good. All right, Bert's with us, and he's interviewing me about how we wired the farm. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want if you own one rental property or 100. And COVID has left you in a cash crunch. We can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kurt's with us in California, radio frequency engineer. Joining us, Amit in Massachusetts. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, Vincent, and good morning, Bart.
Hi, Amit.
Yes, sir. So I saw your email about those two URS. One was to explain that in-phase and quadrature design, and the second was for that polling Bluetooth transceiver or whatever. So the in-phase and quadrature was good because that emphasized the 90-degree separation between the two signals, and that can be complex design because they can involve maybe matched filter or similar filters which are difficult to start with, but when they try to generate I and Q signals, yes, they can get tricky, and that may not be ideal zero IF. But the second part was like, as I say, Microsoft help, that is technically accurate but practically useless, because they were only limited to block diagram illustration of the Bluetooth architecture. So they really did not tell if constant polling or constant pinging is done to see presence of a signal. So I think you wrote that they practically work in that ISM band, that is industrial, scientific, and maybe measurement.
Yeah.
So is it the same way also for these utility meters, that is gas meter and power meter, which are remotely read by a vehicle going in the neighborhood. So I think unlike California, we still don't have smart meters in Massachusetts where I am. But we do have remote reading of these meters. So all I'm asking is that these transceivers, do they keep polling all of the time for the presence of a signal, that when that signal comes, then they will transmit the data, whatever they have stored for the gas consumption or power consumption, or in the case of Bluetooth, that it will begin to function once it detects a signal, and constant polling or constant pinging is needed to find whenever a signal is available.
Okay, good question. Again, this is probably above a lot of the listeners, but let me first cover what you mentioned in the beginning. The zero IF with the INQ is actually a very, very powerful type of architecture. And the idea is that you create two copies of the zero IF signal 90 degrees apart in phase. And by doing that, by just taking an architecture where you mix that pure LO and set up two paths, 10 degrees and 190, you can then digitally demodulate almost any signal known to man with that architecture. So it is very, very common. We have solved the phase shift accuracy problem. It's generally pretty easy to do nowadays, especially if you do it with high-speed digital logic. So that's almost exclusively the architecture that's now used in most, you know, modern receivers, radio receivers, including your iPhone. So, getting to your real question about how much radiation is there from a smart meter. So the actual type of protocols that are used vary, but to maybe, you know, cut to the chase here, the meter is transmitting almost never if there's no reason for it to transmit. It's not, this isn't a type of application where there's constant need for communication. So its duty cycle of transmitting is almost zero. But I'm going to give you one big exception. And the big exception is when your home is used to relay the signals from any other home. And that is one of the common architectures.
But if I may interrupt you, I think in Massachusetts they still don't have the smart meters, so to speak. I think smart meters also control the power being consumed. But we just have meters which report to a passing vehicle which has that detection infrastructure, that it will sense that vehicle coming in the area and send the data accumulated over the past billing cycle.
Now I understand your question. And yes, it would be very little transmission, because it gets
old. Amit, please stay with us. I have a couple comments, and I know Bert does too. Please stay with us.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Vice President Mike Pence, his wife, and the Surgeon General all received the COVID-19 vaccine on live TV Friday morning in a move to instill public confidence. Eisenhower Executive Office Building near the White House was the location. The VP says it was like any other shot.
I especially want to thank the fine medical team at Walter Reed Hospital that administered our vaccine today. I didn't feel a thing. Well done. And we appreciate your service to the country.
The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine was approved for use in the United States a week ago. Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine is expected to be approved Friday. Which one is better? Dr. Fauci on Fox says the two vaccines are similar.
I have looked at the data carefully from both the Pfizer and the Moderna trials. They're strikingly similar.
Pfizer's vaccine needs to be kept at minus 70 degrees Celsius. Moderna's temperature is minus 20 Celsius, more like a regular freezer. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management. Management hotline now, 800-503-8625, 800-503-8625, 800-503-8625.
The last Thursday night football game of 2020 was played in Las Vegas' brand new Allegiant Stadium. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert shined with the help of the Raiders' struggling defense, winning the game in overtime 30-27. Although the Chargers have given up so many leads that led to losses this year, quarterback Justin Herbert says after the game, the Chargers are resilient.
Yeah, we're a resilient team, and hats off to the defense for coming up with a big stop there, and Jalen with a great catch there, and it got a little hectic down there at the end zone, but guys stuck together. And glad we came out on top.
Justin says the O-line gave him the time he needed to get the job done.
Just gain a yard. That's all we needed. And Jalen ran a great route, got over the top. I could have thrown it a little bit farther. He could have scored. But props to those guys up front blocking the way.
After injuries took out some of his key players, the next man up mentality really paid off.
They stepped up big time. I knew how special of a group these guys are. And anytime you miss Keenan and Mike out there, it's definitely tough. But they gave it their all. They gave what they could. And those guys stepped up big time.
Herbert's quarterback sneak in overtime bolted the Chargers past the Raiders 30-27.
I think it's a lot of practice. I think the quarterback position's tough in that way that you have to be level-headed. And I think that's just years of practice, being around the right coaches, around the right teammates. And, they've done such a great job of battling this year. And really proud of those guys out there today.
The Chargers have no chance for this year's playoffs. The Raiders' hopes of making the postseason dimmed as their record fell to 7-7. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Keep it. God, you're
take my.
When you go to
the
for 2 seconds, dirty.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Finelli.
All right. Bert's with us in California, radio frequency engineer. Amit's with us in Massachusetts. On hold is David. And Amit, I've got a comment. And This is politically incorrect, but I'm going to provide this information. I have never done this. I don't ever intend to do this. But in a life-saving emergency, this is a possibility. So I am not advocating that. Now, back in the days of the telephone booth, you know that you'd put your dime in the telephone booth, and that dime would allow you a dial tone, and you could place a call. Now, if it were a local call for a dime, if that call did not go through, you'd hang up, and you get your money back, right? So that means that the money, that 10 cents, and I'm not going to go too far with this, Bert, but I just want to use it as a partial example. That means that that dime went into limbo. And if the call went through, the money was collected and put into the coin box. If the call did not go through, the signal on the two wires into that telephone was reversed, and the money was returned to you. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is not for you to do this, and it's very hard to do anyway, because the wires are all buried in concrete, and the phone booths have been removed. But in the case of a smart meter, if you're in an emergency situation, and if life and death is dependent on having medical equipment running at your home, you know, oxygen generators, that kind of a thing, and if your meter is disconnected by mistake and you can't get it turned back on remotely, you can. And if you want to know how to do it, just go to YouTube and look up smart meter turn back on. It's only two wires. Now, it's dangerous. It's illegal. But I'm just mentioning that it can happen in the same kind of technology that I described with the telephone, the phone booth. But do not do that unless everything is broken down and unless people are going to die in your home because of no electricity. So I just wanted to share that. You can look that up on YouTube. Now, I've never done it. I understand the concept. I don't ever intend to do it. But I'm just saying that if they can turn off your meter without showing up, you know, the way they used to, and you're talking about the smart meter deployment, and that's what one of the reasons why smart meters have been deployed, so they can, we'll just shut these meters off because, for whatever reason, non-payment, whatever it is, they can do it, and there's no exposure of the utility guy showing up and being challenged by the homeowner saying, hey, I've got my grandfather's in bed and he's going to die without electricity. Don't turn it off. They'll just shut it off. Okay? So I just wanted to share that with you. Amit, back to you.
Yes, I was just asking, Bert, that there should be a mechanism to wake up these meters when a vehicle is passing by. So if that is true, how that's accomplished?
Okay, so Amit, I am not an expert in the polling type of smart meter that you're mentioning is deployed in Massachusetts. I'm just going to go out on a limb and hazard a guess, though, that because it's waiting to be awoken, there's going to be very little transmission because the meter is just sitting there waiting and in receive mode, and then it sends out a burst when it's woken up. So, again, I don't have specific knowledge of how your system works, but I'm going to guess that it's very low transmit mode, and so therefore probably not a safety issue.
Class, let me share this with you. Amit is exactly right. Right on the money. He talked about block diagrams. Block diagrams for systems operations. And, you know, so when at a high level in a meeting with old management, the engineers would say, this happens in this box, and then the signal goes on to this box, and then this happens, and decisions are made, etc. So it's a high-level block diagram. Okay, well, when I was running for the board of directors of Laclede Electric Cooperative, an electric utility, I called up the smart meter manufacturers, and I said, I'm running for the board of directors, and I want to know how these smart meters work. Do you know what? I couldn't get any information. It's absolute. I mean, they won't tell you a thing. It's a deep, deep secret how these smart meters work. So, class, what I'm telling you, if you think that you're going to be able to know the signaling, the frequencies, the routing, how the networking works, the protocols, forget it. It's not going to happen unless you're a deep hacker. Okay? And it's going to take years. So I'm very serious about that, Amit. Very serious.
I write separately about the joke about Microsoft Help being technically accurate, but actually useless. So you are giving a perfect example of the depth that is really needed to understand what is going on.
Yes. Yes. By the way, I wanted to comment. Bert, you and Amit used a term, and it's two letters, L and O. And class, when they said L-O, they did not mean the word low, you know, with two letters rather than three. They meant local oscillator. Okay? I just wanted to share that with you. And Amit, here's what you and Bert have done. Something that we have been advised by a few people not to do. We have raised the bar. The two of you guys have raised the bar to the college level. Actually, at least mid-college level, electrical engineering, electronic engineering as I know it. And I am impressed. And we are not, class, we are not going to lower the bar. We are not interested in having every four-year-old understand what we're talking about. We are interested in preparedness. And preparedness is simply looking at the long run. The long run. Okay. Impulse is going to the gas station for a soda. Look, I'm thirsty. Didn't think about that before you left and got in your car that you might be thirsty. Going to the gas station and getting that soda, that's the opposite of preparedness. We are interested in preparedness, and that's the long run. That means you buy more than you need, so you have what you need before you need it. Okay? Amit, anything else? We've got David on hold.
And I thank you. I say thank you to Bert for dropping that ISM band term. I heard it at least after two decades. ISM band, that's everywhere, but conveniently transparent or ignored by most of us. So thank you, Bert.
I have a question for you, Amit, and you can answer this any way you want. I've made the claim that Bert is a brilliant engineer. You challenged him at a significant level, way, way, way above the level that, you know, a talk show guest would be challenged. What was your reaction to his response?
Bart is very practical. That is, I think he has a lot of knowledge about how these things work, and that's why he is hesitant about guessing what is going on in Massachusetts for those polling meters, not really smart meters, which are supposed to turn off power or turn down power. So I have great respect for him.
And so do I. Amit, thank you very much. Anything else?
No, that's all. That's all. Thank you, Vincent, and thank you, Bart.
Very good.
Thanks,
thank you, Amit.
Bye.
There he goes. Okay, David in Illinois. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I hope I didn't get you mad by calling in.
Of course not. No, David.
Yes.
May I? Do you mind if I tell Bert a little bit about who you are, so he knows?
Yes, sir. That's fine.
Okay, Bert. David in Illinois is a USA Prepares instructor, and when he was a child, he was approached by John Wayne Gacy, the mass murderer, and David escaped. David and his boyfriend. Yeah, David and his boyfriend. And I don't mean that in a sexual way. Back when I was growing up, I had boyfriends. And I had girlfriends. And they were girls and they were guys. And we were just friends. And we played together. And, you know, so it was not any innuendo here. It's just his boyhood friend. And he were approached and they escaped with their lives, which is a wonderful thing. So I just want to let you know that is part of David in Illinois' experience profile. Okay, David, back to you.
I have a Bluetooth one. I've been waiting for you to come on so I can ask this question. I have a Bluetooth device that I've picked up accidentally, purely by accident, that's coming. I believe it's coming somewhere from in my house. And I've been trying. I kind of nailed it down. But one of my questions is, is Bluetooth, it does not transmit very far, does it?
No.
I'm losing the signal when I go out of the house. It's in the house somewhere on the one side of the house, but I lose the signal. And I found it totally by accident when I was working and seeing wireless devices here for my wife, and she was having so many problems, so I turned on developer options in the Android devices. And it happened to pop up then when I had it snooped for devices that were not allowed to be accessed, and it showed up. So I put on another device, and it found it too. But, like, when I use that device to call the show, it's gone on that device. It's not, I didn't put it there. I wouldn't have put this there. But it still shows up on the other device, but not that one. And I haven't been able to, I don't do computer work anymore, so I don't have any of my equipment to find signals more detailed. So how far does it usually transmit? Do you have any ideas of how I can try to get more pinpoint to where this device may be?
Yeah, okay, so all good questions. So, yes, Bluetooth is, by definition, a very low-power protocol. As far as whether you see it on certain devices when you're looking to pair or just scan for things to connect to, remember, those devices aren't just looking for the energy from, say, a Bluetooth transmitter. They're also looking for a little bit more information that they know they can handshake or synchronize with it. So if you and they, so they may leave out a lot of devices that are still transmitting. The only way I know of to find everything that is truly coming into your home is to use a spectrum analyzer. And, you know, we use them here at the lab all the time. I even have a portable one you can use. And those will identify the signal at any frequency and can't always tell you what the signal is. Usually you can tell Bluetooth, though, because it's a frequency hop type device. And again, not to get too technical, but frequency hop means it's constantly changing from different channels. And so it's hopping all through the 2.4 gigahertz band, you know, instantaneously on one of many, many channels. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but, you know, that might explain why you can see that on some devices and not on others.
Well, it only goes off of my one device that I use to show, and I cannot find it at that particular time when I'm doing listening to this particular show. When I normally call in, would listen to, and I've called into another show late at night, and it would go off, and I can't see it on that device that I usually use on that device either. And sorry, I hear that.
David, so to help Bert out, I think what David is asking is, how can he detect Bluetooth spying? How can he detect Bluetooth spying? Is that what you're saying, David?
Yes, because it said what it is. The name popped up, and I was shocked the name popped up.
All right. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with David.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes,
Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor, and the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Chris, I just want to mention one thing before we go back to David and Bert. When I talked about the smart meter turning them back on, that's an emergency, extreme measure. It's only for life-saving, life and death emergencies. And if you do that, you are likely to go to jail. You are likely to be arrested and prosecuted and go to jail. Now, what you're weighing, I'm not talking about stealing electricity. I'm talking about saving a life. If you happen to decide to do that in an extreme situation like that, expect to go to jail. Expect cruel and unusual punishment. And you'll be weighing that against saving a life. Okay? So I am not recommending it. I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying it can be done. I'll also tell you that when we built our house, I built it very energy efficiently. And we had our wiring is underground from 1,300 feet from the road all the way to the house. And after about a month, the utility company came over here and they're looking around and checking the seals on the meter and they're looking at the connections and making sure that, you know, nothing had been violated and tampered with. Because they couldn't figure out how come we were using so little electricity. And it's not because we were stealing it. It's because we designed a energy efficient home. The walls in this home are a foot thick. A foot thick. Not 3.5 inches, a foot thick. And we use closed cell foam. And we have a really high efficiency heating system. And our electric consumption at the time when we were on grid was 1/4 the average. So they thought, this guy's running his whole farm and he's using 1/4 of the electricity of just a typical house. How's that possible? It's possible by design and conservation. Okay? So what I'm saying is, if they notice an irregularity on the delivery of electricity, and they'll notice it. They're going to come and get you. So I want to make sure that I explain this very carefully. Don't do it unless someone's going to die. or unless you think someone's going to die. Let's not even say it that way. If you choose to do it, expect to get arrested. Okay? David, back to you. And your question is, deals with finding these frequencies that you cannot see. How do you find them? Is that the question?
Yes. Now, he brought up and he said the signal changes. Now, I flipped off all the power surge protectors and to see if it was coming, if it was a device that I had, which we don't have a lot of those devices. But now, my understanding is when you're looking, in the closest Bluetooth signal should show up on the list first. So that's my understanding. So the closer I get to it, it shows up right at the top. But when you said how it changes frequencies and scans, would that explain why it goes off, on, off, on, off on the screen right at the top of the list the closer I get?
No. That what I was describing was the in operation, it's constantly very rapidly transmitting on different channels, but that wouldn't explain what you're finding. I've actually seen what you're describing, and are you saying that you see something appearing and you're not sure who or what is the Bluetooth device, and you see it popping in and then popping out? Is that what you're saying?
It said the Bluetooth device, and when I found it, when it showed up, I was kind of surprised because of the name that was there and why that would be picking up on my devices in my home. So it had to be placed there. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I had to send a picture of the image to somebody else to see that, yes, I seen it, they seen it, but it's showing there. And I can't find... I lose the signal when I go to the other part of the house. When I go to that house, it goes up the list all the way up to the top. And that's probably as close as I can get. And it's like right, I kind of know the area, but I flipped off everything to make sure it wasn't coming from my devices anywhere. I flipped off the power to everything, and it's still showing up. But when I go out of the house,
you know that all cell phones have Bluetooth. So could this be a neighbor or someone in your family's cell phone?
We only have the cell phones that we have that I've seen the device show up on. I am in a house farther away from other people, and nobody else is in here with cell phones. So when we go outside, I walk around the house to see if I still had the signal. Once I go out of the house and go to my yard, I lose the signal. It comes back when I go in the house. It shows up on the devices. Only those two devices.
Okay, a lot of things use Bluetooth, including, you know, wireless keyboards, mice, but it's interesting. I think you really want to track down something. A portable spectrum analyzer would help you do it because you can follow the signal strength, but, those aren't easy to come by. There are lower cost devices. You can find them on the internet that will also track down signals, but they're just not as accurate as having a spectrum analyzer. But you can, you know, and then of course the last thing is you can hire a private investigator to scan your home, and they'll find everything.
Bert, we're out of time. Would you send me a link to an inexpensive used type model that I can mention to spectrum analyzer?
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes,
Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.